Right? So when Prabhupada came, he got out of his car, he started walking up the steps. Just then, a Mataji, innocent young lady, Vaishnavi, with a baby in her hands, came out the door. So picture the steps. Here's the door. Prabhupada's coming up. The lady standing right here. Sannyasi's out of the way. And the girl just freaked, like a deer stuck in the headlights. Just, you know, she didn't know what to do. Go in, go out, what to do. It's, you know, it's an innocent lady. Prabhupada being the perfect gentleman, when Prabhupada got to the top of the stairs, I mean, he's the founder, acharya of the entire ISKCON movement. He opened the door and gestured for her to walk through. You know, she had her hands with the baby, so Prabhupada, you know. So she walked through. The devotees thought it was Prabhupada. And so they showered all the flowers on this Mataji with the baby, you know. And Prabhupada, who didn't miss a trick, just really got a chuckle out of the whole thing, you know. Then when Prabhupada came in, there was a devotee named Prachatos, and he was, you know, well, we could go on for some time, but he was wanted the definitive recording of Jai Radha Madhava. So he had this whole console of, you know, stuff set up. You know, it looked like a NASA launch center, you know. And he'd also test for days, you know. Prabhupada came, of course, he was in the Evanston Temple, offered his respect, came, sat down on the Vyasasan, picked up his kartals. Prachatos flicked the switch, poof! A big cloud of black smoke came out, and the whole system blew out. Prabhupada didn't even chant Jai Radha Madhava. He looked at it, and he quoted a verse, which I've forgotten, dull head that I am. But Prabhupada said, this is material life, big arrangement with no result. And that's what Prabhupada gave his class on. So, and you all know the famous Kishore Kishore. You know, we say Radha Krishna, Radha Giridhari, Radha Govinda, Rukmini Dwarkadish. But here it's switched. You have Kishore Kishore. And they asked Prabhupada why. Prabhupada said, I saved the best for last. Beautiful Kishore, here she's so beautiful, she comes last. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopijana Balaba, sit here. Giribana Dari. Gopijana Balaba, Giribana Dari. Gopijana Balaba, Giribana Dari. Jasoda Nandana, Vrijajana Ranjana. Jasoda Nandana, Vrijajana Ranjana. Jamuni Tira Vanatari. Jamuna Tira Vanatari. Jerado Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopijana Balaba Kivivananari. Gopijana Balaba Jasoda Nandana Vrijajana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanatari. Jerado Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari.
Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Pretty Bridget Gajara Siddha Dishishman is Divine Grace Abhai Shidan Bhakti Vedanta Sai Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Iskan BBD Founder Chai Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki Ananda Kuru Vaishnavinda Ki Naman Chai Shla Hidasta Kuru Ki Prem Shri Gaho Shri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nityananda Shri Dvaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Guru Bhakta Vrinda Ki Shri Dari Krishna Guru Gopina Shama Kund Radha Kund Giri Govardhan Ki Vrindavan Dham Ki Mathura Dham Ki Dwarkadamaki, Navaridamaki, Jagannapuridamaki, Chamunamaki, Gangamaki, Tulsi Maharaniki, Bhakti Devaki, Samveda Bhakti Vindiki, Srila Prabhupadaki, Shri Shri Kishore Kishoriki, Shri Krishna Sankirtana Jagaki, Gopremanandi, all glories of the Sum of Devotees, all glories of the Sum of Devotees, all glories of the Sum of Devotees. All glories of divine literacy see Guru and Goranga. Krishna Swadamo Pagate Damagana Divisaha Kalana Sadishamesha Parana Kodidodita Nalaina Namaskrichandaram Shaivam Narotama Devim Sarasatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayat. The Bhagavatam is the brain as the sun. Is originally after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode, accompanied with knowledge, religion, etc. Persons who have lost the vision to the dense darkness at the age of Kali should get light out of this Purana. Before beginning our study of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the very means of conquest, we should first offer our respects to the personality of Godhead Narayan, the Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, the goddess of the living mother Saraswati, the author Srila Vyasadeva, and my spiritual master Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we are reading from text 60. And of course I brought my wrong glasses. This is something that all you brahmacharis can look forward to. A man died. He was about 60 years old. And died all of a sudden. Cerebral thrombosis kicked over. And when he went before Yamaraj, he was upset. And he said, yeah, I want to file a complaint. Where's the complaint box? I don't recommend it. Of course, you'll all see the Vishnu Dutasman. And he was complaining that I died all of a sudden. I didn't have a time to help my granddaughter get married, and I didn't have a chance to drop my dimwit brother-in-law out of my will. And, you know, you could pull, no warning. Yama said, what? He said, I gave you a warning. Didn't I give you gray hair? Didn't I give you a cane? Didn't I give you glasses? So these are the symptoms we should not. And I can tell you frankly, my father has passed away. He was a very good man, actually, materially, very good man. And he was talking with my son. And my son was saying, boy, I don't know what happened to the last year. My father said, last year? He said, I lost a decade. I don't know where it went. The older you get, the faster time goes. Yeah. So don't fritter away your time, Prabhu, thinking in the future, I'll become Krishna conscious. I was in the room. It was a darshan. This man said, sooner or later, to Prabhupada, sooner or later, I will surrender to Krishna. Sooner or later. Prabhupada said, better sooner. Do you know you have a later? Okay. So we are reading. I'll do my best here. Narada Uvacha Yenaivada Hati. I don't have my glasses, so. Karma Tenaiva Matra. To tell you the truth, can someone else do this? Because I can't see the page. It's as simple as that. Well, let's see. That might work. Why, thank you. Plus, I'll wear them just because they're from you. Close, but no cigar. Can someone chant them? I can't see. Yeah, you lead and we'll follow. No, don't do that, because that's you have to read what's on the board. All right. Buma. Bungte. Hi. Aryadhanena. Lingena. Manasa. Swayam. Naruvacha. Yena vava te karma. Tinaiva nutapat param. Bungtihi avayatvene. Lingana manasatayam. Naro vacha. Yena te karma. Tenaiva tukatanam bukte avyabhavaina lingena manasavat naravacha yenaiva tukate karma tenaiva katpaman Bhunkte avavarana Lingena manasavayam Prabhus? Naruvacha Yenaivarapate karma Tinaivarapatpaman Bhunkte avavarana Lingena manasa swayam Naruvacha Inaiva katpaman Bhunketa Lingena manasa Naruvacha Yenaivarate karma Tenaiva muchatatpuman Bhunkteya bhavaladena Naruvacha Narada uvacha Yenaiva bhavate karma Tenaiva bhutakatpuman Bhumtahya bhavihanena Lingena manas Narada uvacha
Narada said, Yena By which? Eva, certainly. Arabate, begins. Karma, fruit of activities. Tena, by that body. Eva, certainly. Amutra, in the next life. Tat, that. Puman, the living entity. Bhunkte, enjoys. He, because. Avyavadanena. Without and without any change. Lingena, by the subtle body. Manasa, by the mind. Swayam, personally. Translation.
And this is Narada Muni asking the question. The question was, the expert knowers of Vedic conclusions say that one enjoys or suffers the results of one's past activities and your experience in this life. But practically, it is seen that the body that performed the work in the past, in the last birth, is already lost. So how is it possible to enjoy or suffer the reactions of that, again the eyes, of that work in a different body? So you acted in one body, and that's what, you know, that generated the activities, but that body's gone. So what's the connection? Now you're suffering. How does it transfer? What's going on? So Narada Muni is answering. The great sage Narada continued, the living entity acts in the gross body in this life. This body is forced to act by the subtle body composed of the mind, intelligence, and false ego. After the gross body is lost, the subtle body is still there to enjoy or suffer. There is no change. So the subtle body is the link that carries it. Purport. Oh, I say, you say? The sage Narada continued. The living entity acts in the gross body in this life. This body is forced to act by the subtle body composed of the mind, intelligence, and ego. After the gross body is lost, the subtle body is still there to enjoy or suffer. Thus, there is no change. Purport. The living entity has two kinds of bodies, the subtle body and the gross body. Actually, he enjoys... Can you read this? Because again, I can't read. I apologize because I don't have my glasses. Want to read into the mic?
Here's the mic.
Okay. Purport. The living entity is Divine Grace Relation, Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Okay. The living entity has two kinds of body, the subtle body and the gross body. Actually, he enjoys through the subtle body, which is composed of mind, intelligence, and ego. The gross body is the instrumental outer covering. When the gross body is lost or when it dies, the root of the gross body, the mind, intelligence, and ego, continues and brings about another gross body. Although the gross bodies apparently change, the real root of the gross body, the subtle body of the mind, intelligence, and ego, is always there. The subtle body's activities, be they pious or impious, create another situation for the living entity to enjoy or suffer in the next gross body. Thus, the subtle body continues, whereas the gross bodies change, one after another. Since modern scientists and philosophers are too materialistic, and since their knowledge is taken away by the illusory energy, they cannot explain how the gross body is changing. The materialistic philosopher Darwin has tried to study the changes of the gross body, but because he had no knowledge of either the subtle body or the soul, he could not clearly explain how the evolutionary process is going on. One may change the gross body, but he works in the subtle body. As to how the actions of one gross body affect another gross body. The activities of the subtle body are also guided by the super soul. As explained in Bhagavad Gita 5, the individual soul always knows how to act according to the actions of his past karma. In other words, the super soul reminds him to act in such a way. Therefore, although there is apparently a change in the gross body, there is a continuation between the lives of an individual soul. You're welcome.
Just a few quick things about them. You know, what is that classic line? You know, haven't we met before? Whatever. You know, I make some plan how to seduce her. A child sees the same things. Oh, Mataji, it's my mother. You know, if it happens to be the mother, they see it completely differently. That a tiger thinks, hey, tasty snack item. You know. Same body, same senses, seer, seen, and act of seeing. It is all the same, but filtered through false ego, completely different experience. Devotee, what is it? Pandita Samadarshana. He says, oh, here's a spirit soul. They don't even see what is the body. So people are ranging through this world, same experience, but a different experience based on the false ego. So that's what's being described. And that false ego is carried lifetime after lifetime by the Supersoul. Krishna's reminding. When they built the Golden Gate Bridge at the time was the largest suspension bridge in the world. Caltech, MIT, you know, IIT shudders at these names. You know how Caltech studied the suspension bridge for the Golden Gate Bridge? What's that? Go. They studied spider webs. Spiders don't even have a brain. I don't think they even have a central nervous system. How is that possible? There is a type of butterfly that migrates all the way from northern Canada all the way to South Mexico. There's actually mountains in South Mexico. And then the next year, they travel all the way back. But here's the far... Actually, I'm wrong. Here's the far-out thing. It actually takes 2 years. One generation goes and dies on the way, then the other one completes it. Then the next generation comes back, dies on the way, and the other generation completes it. So there's nobody there with an armband. Hey, turn left here, turn left here. There's no memory. They don't have a GPS system. They're not like, you know, clicking in the, you know, with the zip and they, you know. How is it possible? There's so many, we could go on and on. No, there's so many examples that Krishna's giving intelligence, giving guidance within the heart. As it's being described here, the point is that we are forced to act. Krishna says you get a particular type of, tongue, nose, eyes centered around the mind. It's describing in the Gita. You get a particular type of body with attracted to a particular type of set up, sense objects based on what you did in your past life. This idea of freedom, we all think we're free to choose. Actually, we are so strictly controlled. I'll give you just a few examples. I was talking with a man who comes to the temple. He was saying, just like soft drinks, to be exploited, we have to understand the living entity, it's instinctive in the human form of life, the concept of a progression, that I'm making advancement, that I'm progressing. It's there. It's instinctual. But it has been diverted. We have been convinced that we are consumer units. I remember my father, when China opened up, he'd retired. I remember him reading the Wall Street Journal saying, damn. He said, I retired too early. I said, why? He said, China. He said, 1 billion consumer units. I mean, he's calculating all the, you know, nine gates of the body, all of those senses to titillate, all those products. Now they're living just fine, but they don't know they need a whiz bang and a this and a that and so many different things. That's a whole market I could have exploited. So the inclination of the living entity to progress, just like Varnashram Dharma, it is a progression. One is meant to come to the brahminical stage, and one's meant to come to ultimately to sudasattva. Even in our own life, one's meant to go from brahmachari life. Prabhupada says if you cut a fingernail at the right distance, you don't feel a thing, right? You cut it too close, it can be quite painful. So renunciation is meant to be like that. Right time, right place, right circumstance. That's the famous mantra of Yudhisthira Maharaj. Right time, right place, right circumstance. That determines when to act. And there's a progression. One comes to the point, one should die in an unknown place. One shouldn't die with all one's relatives sobbing and, you know, wailing all over you and completely attached. That's how one dies. One should die in a distant place, in a holy tirtha or on the preaching field. That is glorious. And human form of life is an arc towards that goal, that one comes to the point of completely depending on Krishna. That's the goal of human form of life. And there's a Varnashram system is perfectly designed towards that. That inclination to progress, to accumulate deep realizations, has been distorted. I saw a bumper sticker, the one who dies with the most toys wins. You ever seen that? The one who dies with the most toys wins. I was thinking, hey, you still die. And the dimwit brother-in-law gets all the toys. Or, you know, what happens with that? So Nobody likes to be cheated. We should realize that we are being cheated. I remember the first time my parents let me go to a movie all with my brother, my older brother. I had a four-year older brother. My father used to say two halfwits make a nitwit. So the two of us, we were quite a combination. And I remember my mother gave me 25 cents, which in those days was enough to buy some snack item and a soft drink. 15 cents for the soft drink and 10 cents for the snack item. So being a lusty little kid, I remember making my calculation. And with my brother, we calculated what was going to be the biggest, how did you get the biggest bang for your buck? And I remember the thing was a Big Hunk was the name of the candy bar. Or maybe it was a Mounds bar, I forget. But here's the thing. And it was big. Nicely wrapped. I measured the thickness. Plunked down my money. The guy gave me the thing. I opened it up. And these two little bars slid out. It was on a cardboard tray. You know, it looked big. But what I actually got, you know, expectation and delivery, I was, I've been hosed. I've been cheated, you know. It's the first time I realized that everybody really didn't have my best interest at heart, you know. They really weren't just out there to make sure I got the best thing. They were there to slap me silly and suck whatever they could out of my pockets. That's how the, do you know the supermarkets? Oh, they seems innocuous enough. Oh, no, they are deviously designed to suck as much money out of you as possible. Do you know that most people go to the supermarket to get some bread and some butter? Where do they put the bread and butter? It's always in the back of the supermarket. So you have to walk through the whole maze. Do you know that most people instinctively, 85% will turn left when they walk into a supermarket? That's where they put all the produce. So everything looks clean and bright, and you know. You notice in most supermarkets there's no mirror, there's no windows. Yeah. And there's no clocks. You go in thinking I'm gonna buy milk and butter, and an hour later you got a cart full of junk and impulse items. There's a place in California, it's called Whole Foods Market. Do they have it out here? We call it Whole Paycheck. Because you go into the thing, and before you know it, you know, where'd all my money go? So the point is that we have to be perceptive. This is the gift Prabhupada calls the devotees introspective sages. That frankly, this world is set up to cheat us. And it is indeviously designed. I mean, there's so many examples. They did a study. They put a bowl of M&Ms on a desk. Okay? And they put a scoop. And it said, take as much as you like. People, I don't know what the amount was, like 90%, took whatever the size of the scoop. If they had a little dinky scoop, they took a few. You put in a shovel, people filled up their pockets. Just by the delivery system, they became completely, people don't know what they want. They're so easily influenced. I was saying about this supersize, this McDonald's, you know, supersize. The average large drink used to be 12 ounces, 16 ounces, 14 ounces, something like that. Now, what is it? It's 32 or 64. You know, not only is the drink supersized, people are supersized. I mean, obesity is the big problem because people are just sucking everything up. So people, why? Because people, they realized that, hey, we can suck so much more money out of these people. Just give them a bigger cup and charge them more. And people are just being played like, you know, like a pinball machine, you know. So I guess we'll say this because of the time factor. How much we identify. Let me give a simple example. I was mentioning somebody the other day. Anybody here wake up in the morning and think, oh, little toe, you and I are going to have so much fun today. How are you going to titillate me and satisfy me today, oh best of friends, little toe? Anybody even think about their little toe till I mentioned it today? So if you look at it, I mean, we are being cheated. The average American under hypnosis can remember 357 commercial jingles. You know, when the Prabhupada said this chanting, they said this chanting is brainwashing. Prabhupada said if the brain is dirty, shouldn't it be washed? I mean, probably say, definitely the brain should be washed. So all of that is rattling around their false expectations. What is success? What is happiness? How do we measure all these things? The back to the little toe. If you weigh it on a pan balance, the potential for happiness from the little toe is minuscule. Maybe you have an itch, you can scratch it. Ah, ecstasy. The other day I was in a hurry. I was actually born 2 days early, and my mother says I've been in a hurry ever since, so I apologize. So I was in a hurry in San Diego, coming, it was whatever it was, and I caught my toe on the edge of the Vyasasan. Snap! Extremely painful. Hurt for days. Whole thing swole up, you know. So the potential for happiness is minuscule. Potential for pain, you get a scratch, a little scratch on your tiny toe. It gets infected, you don't take care of it, you can die from gangrene. That little toe, my friends, can kill you. So weigh it on a pan balance. What are we up against? What is the potential for enjoyment in this body? If you rack it up against the potential for pain, it is one sack of suffering. Look at the mind, Prabhupada's famous example. There is a Bengali preparation. It's kachoris with green coconut chutney. This type of kachori is difficult to make. And green coconut kachoris, it's very laborious. So you don't see them very often. Now the thing, they're very tasty. The problem is if you eat too many green coconut kachoris, you get indigestion. Okay? That's the setup. So you're sitting, pretend you're a materialist, you're sitting in a wedding party, or whatever it is, and they serve green coconut kachoris. The mind says, fantastic. When was the last time you saw green coconut kachoris? And you humbly submit, yeah, I haven't seen them for 1 year, 2 years. Mind says, have one. Okay. The mind says, when will you see them again? Have another. And as a dutiful servant of the mind, you definitely have another. Then the mind says, you know, eating should be done in threes. It says two is enough. Say, have another. Then you think, well, I've thrown caution to the wind. Have another. Mind says, have another. So in this way, you gorge yourself. You have so many. You go home thinking, oh, green coconut kachoris. It's such a nice wedding party. 1 o'clock in the morning, you wake up with a horrible pain in your side. And that same mind, who to satisfy has put you in this condition, that same mind says, you idiot, what'd you eat so many for? This is the nature of the mind. I was on traveling Sankirtan with a devotee, very nice devotee. We, you know, Mangalarti, the man looked completely beat, half dead. I said, Prabhu, what happened? You look, see? He said, oh, I couldn't sleep at all. He said, it was so cold. The window was open. I was so cold, I couldn't sleep. I said, well, why didn't you get up and shut the window? We were sleeping in the van. He said, I was too tired. This is the nature of the, you know, this is the nature of the mind. So the... I remember thinking it was a turning point. It was an epiphany for me in my own spiritual progression. The desire to be, I was following Buddhism as, you know, and it says the desire to become desireless. I thought that the desire to become desireless is a self-centered desire. Huh? That puts a real spanner in the works, and it's true. The desire to become desireless is a self-centered desire. So I was weighing what to do. Is this world created for us to enjoy? Is this world, am I supposed to be like a Gnostic and go to the caves and live on one chickpea a day? And if I try to be, you know, do I just go with the flow like like that rascal Dalai Lama who says, who's not a vegetarian? And says to discriminate, well, this is an act of the ego, so I don't discriminate, I eat what's ever put in front of me. Fine, pass stool in his begging bowl and see if he eats that. I mean, it's so bogus, you know. Sorry for the scatological, but it's so irritating. So, but I remember thinking that how do you deal with the desire issue? And how do you deal, again, seer, seen in the act of seeing. How is that experience processed? Is it profane? Is it to be enjoyed? How do you deal with it? And I remember a friend of I guess he was a friend of mine, because he played the Govinda album, that happening album, and I didn't hear the chanting. I just heard, I walked in, and he was, and as that Prabhupada's giving that purport, and Prabhupada says, the devotees have no desire. Still they have variegated desires to satisfy their Lord in loving service. Bam! It literally blew my mind. There's the answer. The devotee, the bhakta, has no personal desire. But he's full of desires how to serve Krishna. Prabhupada said, we're not dull stones. We all have I didn't do it. Nanda Kumar made sugar cookies. We used to call them Prabhupada cookies, the butter, sugar, and flour cookies, with peanut butter frosting on top. He took them up to Prabhupada's room in L.A., and then we would wait till he came down, and even the brahmacharis just, boom, we would jump, unless Brahmananda was there, and Brahmananda would wrestle us all out of the way, you know? This is way off the track, but it is blissful. The second time I heard Prabhupada speak, the old L.A. temple, maybe 15 women, 15 men sitting apart, Prabhupada sitting on the Vyasasana, Brahmananda sitting here. I didn't know anything about anything. You know, I was Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. I saw BTG, Back to Godhead magazine, with Lord Nisringadeva on the cover. I thought, I knew the devotees were vegetarian. I said, just don't get them angry, I guess. You know, I couldn't figure out what was going on with the whole thing, you know. So, Prabhupada speaking, he calls for questions. This guy gets up. He's sitting about where you were. You know, matted hair, all disheveled. He starts coming up the aisle, obviously with malicious intent. Everybody froze. I didn't know what was going on. He got about from here, from you to me to the Vyasasana. Prabhupada went, stop! Prabhupada, and the man froze. Prabhupada pointed to Brahmananda. He said, do you see this man? It was just like the movies. Everybody went, whoosh. We all looked at Brahmananda. Prabhupada said, if I tell him to, he will kill you. And the guy just sat down and Prabhupada went right on like nothing had happened. I was so impressed. I thought, this man, you know, Srila Prabhupada, is not of this world. He's just, it was just not at all what I expected and so sublime. I was charmed and impressed beyond words. So, but this point of, you know, how the devotees are full of desire to serve Krishna. They have no personal desire, but full of desire to serve Krishna. And we're going to tell another Brahmananda story. Help me remember before we end. But I heard Prabhupada give this great example. And he's talking about Buddhism. And you know, the goal of Buddhism, anybody have a charter? Is there a charter in the house? This one is longer. Quick, quick. Well, get what you asked for, right? All right, I saw Krishnamurti, that big impersonalist Krishna. You think he's dead now, right? Thank heaven. Huh? I think he's dead. Should be. Don't quote me. Okay. See this charter? I don't know if you just do a visual, but the charter is here. There's an inside and there's an outside, right? Inside and outside. Therefore, there's duality, right? Inside, outside. The only, as long as the false ego is there, charter represents false ego. As soon as we remove the charter, we remove false ego, it all becomes one. Sounds good. Of course, I remember thinking, well, what caused the charter and, you know, how did it all get separated and, you know, But anyway, the Prabhupada, because Buddhism, that's the goal. When you become free from desire, when you become free from any sense of ego, when you're completely equipoised in all situations with nothing, there's no motive or ego or desire to propel you forward, you pop like a bubble in the sea and you cease to exist. My theory was better to love than lost and never to have loved at all, and better to have some kind of identity. But anyway, that's another issue. Prabhupada's response, Prabhupada tells a little, it's really sweet. Prabhupada says, suppose your child has a fever of 104, 105. You bring your child to the doctor. Doctor says, no problem, I can cure you. I cure him, you pay me, right? Oh, definitely, I'll pay you. I take out a sword, the doctor, whack, I cut off the kid's head, the kid's dead. I say, hey, fever's gone. Pay me. You can't argue with me, the fever is gone. I mean, what kind of answer is that? That's Prabhupada's reply to Buddhism. Then, it's fantastic, isn't it? Then there's another example. In the same tape, Prabhupada gives an example of impersonalism. You know, I want to find my home and home. I want to merge. Why do parents have children? They have children for enjoyment. Isn't it the reciprocation? This is that happiness. So, of course, then they become teenagers and go all to hell. But up until that point, they're kind of fun, you know. I'm just looking at the time. So here's Prabhupada's example. Prabhupada's example is, suppose you're, if you just picture, for any parent can understand this. Suppose the child comes up to the mother, the father standing there, and the child says, you know, this life is very difficult. It's so much difficulty. Can I go back in your womb? How does the parent think about that? You take the kid to the psychologist. The kid is sick. What happened that the kid feels like this? It's not a sign. It's not a healthy sign or a sign. It's a sign of neurosis or psychosis. So that the living entity is out in this world and it's all suffering and they pray to God, I just want to merge back into you with no identity. It's an illness. It's a psychosis. It's not a healthy sign of spiritual growth. So that's how Prabhupada dealt, you know, in two or three sense with Buddhism. And, you know, the point I wanted to make, because we're just getting towards the end here, we've got 4 minutes. We're living, because this, we're coming to the end of this chapter. It's the Paranjan chapter. It's an analogy told to Maharaj Parjini Barishat, because the king was too proud to hear. And we're all, certainly myself, you know, to tell me anything, you know, you got to be very careful lest I blow. So I guess I'll say it this way. We are constantly calculating. You know what a plane, a jet is on autopilot, it's constantly, there was a pilot who comes to the temple, he was telling me it's like 30 messages every minute. You know, so every half, whatever it is, or I think it's every half second, they're getting a direction. And the plane is constantly, what do they call it, course calculating. It's recalibrating their course. Because the wind is there, there's a pressure. So they're always getting messages how to recalibrate and stay on course. They're adjusting all the time. We are like that. Certainly I am like that as well. I'm always calculating, am I happy? Am I happy? I'm taking inventory of my senses. Am I happy now? Am I happy now? Is this making me happy? We're constantly in that feverish state of calibrating. Oh, is my body balanced? Oh, I'm too hot. I'm too cold. I should feel my belly. Oh, I ate too much. You know, we are constantly in that state of measuring every circumstance. Am I happy? Who gives a damn if you're happy? The little mosquito, you know, Prabhupada gives the example. Bzzz, the mosquito lands on the king's shoulder. He looks out. He sees, you know, everyone's bowing down, everyone's fanning. He's sitting on the king's shoulder on the throne. But with this misidentification, he's thinking they're all bowing down to me. In Prabhupada's analogy, evidently like cats purr, I guess evidently when mosquitoes are happy, bzzz. So the king is sitting there, he hears his bzzz. Prabhupada said, we're just like that with the material nature. We're thinking we're in charge, and then time comes. We're finished. We're insignificant. I was in a room, Prabhupada, it was in London, and this man said, oh, Swamiji, I was seeing you in Calcutta, now I'm seeing you in India, isn't it a small world? Prabhupada gestured to that big picture of Mahavishnu with all the universes emanating from him. Prabhupada said, actually, sir, it is insignificant. It's insignificant, this world. Like, we can do a time calibration. It's insignificant. I heard Prabhupada say, this earthly planet, you see all those, you know, bumper stickers? You know, I've been to the Grand Canyon, I've been to Yosemite, I've been to see the world's largest ball of string, or whatever, wherever they went, you know? Prabhupada said the devas won't even come and pass urine on this planet. The Grand Canyon is a giant urinal, and they don't even want to use it. We're thinking, whoa, you know, what is this place? What is this body? What is this mind? What is this place? So we are actually in a very precarious position. That's the fact of the matter. What is it, Govinda Das? We're like the drop of water on the lotus leaf. We are actually in a very precarious position. I saw a man. He was in Detroit. And, you know, they have their idea. You know, and previously, just like Sanatana Goswami was an expert physician, and he gave the instructions, and the Brahmin son was cured, and as a benediction, he asked that he could get Madan Mohan deity. I mean, it's a fantastic story. So, you know, Brahmins are expert in so many different fields. So now you have yogis, and they do these little magic tricks or whatever. This one Indian gentleman asked Prabhupada, oh, Swamiji, can you read my palm? Prabhupada said, how we don't, you know, Yokesh Mambahami Ham, Krishna provides, you know. Prabhupada said, you think you're sitting on the floor, I'm sitting in the hand of Krishna. So Prabhupada was saying how we don't, you know, we simply depend on Krishna. Prabhupada said, this is the childlike innocence of the spirit of bhakti. We depend on Krishna, okay? Prabhupada gave his blissful explanation. At the end of the whole thing, the man with his buffalo brain, I heard a man say to Prabhupada, this is brainwashing. Prabhupada said, first get a brain, then we'll wash it. The man said, I've got a brain. Prabhupada said, if you've got a brain, it's cow dung. I mean, Prabhupada could be very heavy, you know. Prabhupada can say that. Prabhupada afterwards actually said to us, Prabhupada said, I can say this, you cannot. Prabhupada said, this is the special dispensation for old men and little children. They can go anywhere and they can say anything. So, actually, the truth of the matter, I mean, Prabhupada was being his usual humble and sophisticated self, as a kavi. But the fact of the matter is people could sense from Srila Prabhupada his deep love. They would take it because they knew that Prabhupada was actually trying to help them. Like he'll take it from a physician. You know, the dentist has got to pull your tooth. Well, what can you do, you know? So Prabhupada could hit people like this, you know. But at the end of the whole thing, Prabhupada's fantastic explanation, the man said, oh, Swamiji, but can you read my palm? You know, he went right back to his first question. Prabhupada said, give me your hand. Turned on his, you know, Prabhupada was an expert actor. And Prabhupada turned on the desk lamp, took the man's hand. You know how they do. He was, We were thinking, hey, I'm going to queue up. Maybe Prabhupada will read my hand palm, you know? And then Prabhupada, Prabhupada said, all bad. Birth, death, disease, and old age. I thought the man was going to have a heart attack because Prabhupada was so heavy when he said it, you know? And then Prabhupada said, but you clap your hands at kirtan, all the lines go away. So this is the childlike innocence of the spirit of bhakti. I mean, we could go on and on and on, but we don't have time. Our calculations are, we don't know where we're going. We don't know what's best for us. There was the farmer who his horse left one day. His horse escaped. Oh, his friend said, very, very bad, very, very bad. The farmer said, maybe good, maybe bad, I don't know. The horse that had escaped came back after a few days. He'd made a girlfriend, brought a wild horse back. His friend said, oh, very, very good, now you have two horses. Farmer said, maybe good, maybe bad. It's a Chinese saying. His son got on the horse to learn how, you know, to bridle the horse, to break the horse. Horse threw him, his son broke his leg. He said, oh, very, very bad, his friend. He said, maybe good, maybe bad. Next day, this king's army came. They drafted everyone, a well, able-bodied man under 18. Boy had a broken leg. They didn't take him. It goes on and on like that, you know. We don't know what's good. We don't know what's bad. Certainly if the measure is, I want to advance in Krishna consciousness. It says in the Nectar of Devotion, if one calls out even once, hey, Govinda, please, Krishna, just save me. We may forget. But Krishna doesn't forget. Or was it St. Augustine said, give me celibacy, but just not yet? You know, we don't know what we want, you know? And if we want it, well, don't do it that way. You know, save me, Krishna. Enlighten me. Free me from this constant calibration. Am I happy? Am I happy? Am I happy? But don't do it that way. Don't do it this way. Don't do it now. So I wanted to end with one last thing, just because of the time. If we can, I'm speaking to myself, believe me, Prabhu. If we can come to this stage of seeing how we're being cheated, seeing the futility of trying to please it, what is in it, you know? What is it? There's a Bengali saying, it means to spit a cha. I forget, there's actually a Bengali word. And you hear what he's talking about, Yamunacharya, and when he thinks of sex life, he spits. It's a fantastic Bengali word because it sounds like you're spitting. When we can come to that point, even better is that we see everything, how to use it in Krishna's service. One comes to that great state of fearlessness. And I want to share one last story because I mentioned Brahmananda, it just popped into my head. Pusta Krishna Maharaj told me this. Prabhupada had sent them to East Bengal. Because there's so many Vaishnavas, there's a rich Vaishnav community. This was before the Bangladesh war had broken out. It was 1970, 1971. Still, heavy Muslim population, very dangerous situation. When they were preaching there, the war broke out. Prabhupada sent them a telegram, said, leave immediately, get out, leave immediately. So they were leaving, but they were taking a bus to the border, the West Bengal, India, and the Bangladesh, East Bengal, Pakistan border are close to each other at that point. The Muslim soldiers, Pakistani soldiers, were stopping all the buses, all the trucks, everyone leaving. If you had a Hindu last name, if you were wearing a sari, what to speak of, you know, you're dressed like this, how many things are wrong in this picture by a Pakistani calculation? They were taking them off, putting them by the side of the road, and machine gunning them. Yeah. It was horrific. They stopped the bus, Pushta Krishna, Brahmananda on the bus. Everybody else is trying to grow a beard and, you know, carrying a goat, doing whatever they can to look Muslim, right? They look on the bus, and in the back, saffron, tilak, kunti mala, like I said, you know, sika. How many things are wrong in this picture? Took them right off the bus, put them on the side of the road, set up the machine gun, aimed, pulled the thing back, ready to go. Brahmananda, to his credit, turned to Pushta Krishna and said, put your hand in your bead bag, Prabhu. We're going back to Godhead. And they put their hand, just like they were posing, they were, Hare Krishna, what else can you do? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. I mean, people are crying for their mother. Other people are passing stool and urine simultaneously. You know, this is it. To their credit, the Muslim soldiers were so unnerved, they could understand these are genuinely saintly people. And they said, get back on the bus, and that's how they got out of the country, you know? So my point is, this is just a flavor of the freedom. If we just become Krishna conscious, what a blissful... And, well, what will we do if we're not full of plans for ourselves and how to become happy? Nature abhors a vacuum. We'll be full of plans how to deliver the conditioned souls, how to please Krishna. What can we do for the deities? What can we do for the Vaishnavas? What we can do for the rest of the living entities? The brain will be full of these things. What a nice state of mind. Okay, we can end there. We're a little bit over. Thank you for sitting so patiently. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. We're done because we have meetings. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. I fulfilled my mandate. Tell a few Prabhupada stories, tell a few jokes. I've earned my breakfast prasad by Krishna's grace.